Bibles tonight, look with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. In life, there are things that we all must learn. Learning is something that we all do, we must do, we have to do. And sometimes we learn. Sometimes we learn the hard way, sometimes we learn the easy way. I remember my father growing up, he would tell me often, he would say, you can learn this the easy way or you can learn it the hard way. And the hard way usually meant a little bit of corporal punishment along with learning the lesson. But one way or the other, I was going to learn what my father wanted me to. I did not always do well in school. School for me was a necessary evil, something that I felt like I had to do, and it wasn't until I didn't have to do it that I enjoyed learning and still enjoy learning. But there are some things in Scripture that we all must learn, and I want to go over just a few of those, because in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing this letter to him and is trying to teach Timothy and to train him. And so I want to go over several of these things. I won't be very long tonight as we look at these, but basically seven things that we are to learn and act upon. But I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and begin in verse number 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." We're going to look tonight again at seven things that we're to learn and act upon. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you, I pray that you would just meet with us in a very special way tonight. God, may we each one apply these seven avenues of learning in our life, God. And may we see the importance of them. May we see and act upon them as well. There's not one here tonight that is above learning or that knows everything that we need to know about your word, about you. So, Father, I pray that you would use this time and make it profitable for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want you to take note. Go right back to the very first verse that we talked here in verse number 14, as the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And take special note here in verse number 15, where the Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture." If the very first thing that I want you to know that we need to learn is simply the Scripture. The Scripture, the Word of God, the Word that God has given to us. We know that when Jesus Christ came, the Bible tells us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But we have in our hands tonight the very Word of God. It is inerrant, it is without error, it is holy, it is perfect in every sense of the way we have the Scripture. And here he says, "In that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture." One of the ways that we can know the Scripture is by memorizing the Scripture. And that is not always easy to do. We have to train ourselves to learn what the Bible says and how the Bible says it. But we are to very simply know the Scripture. We hear from time to time, we will say things, and there's a lot of things that the Bible is credited for or even taken away from by somebody who will say, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible never says it. It's important that we know what the Bible says. Now, I don't know that it is possible, aside from the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, that we would know every word that is in the Bible. I've heard of people that have memorized entire verses. They've memorized entire chapters. Some have memorized entire books of the Bible and can quote it from memory. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. I can't do that. I say I can't do it. I've never really tried, but I think it would be very, very difficult for me to do that. But we can all know the Word of God. And we can know it well enough to where we can go and find where it says what we're looking for. And I'll tell you, there's times in my life where I've thought the Bible has said something and gone to look and say, oh, well, that's not in there. That's a little embarrassing sometimes, isn't it? And we know that and we see that, but we must know the Scripture. Again, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, you may not have been raised in church. That doesn't mean you can't know the Scripture. Amen? You can take whatever point in time in your life that you are in, and you can know the Scripture. But I'll tell you this, if you don't get in the Scripture, you won't know the Scripture. You won't know it. Now, notice, as he continues there, the second thing that we are to learn, and we learn it from Scripture, he says, that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If we're going to learn the Scripture, the second thing that we must learn from Scripture is salvation. Salvation comes from knowing the Word of God. We talk about all the times as we're coming up on vacation Bible school and this time of year, we're going to have children that are going to come through here that are going to hear the gospel. The gospel is going to be presented from the Word of God, and they will respond to it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we must know salvation. Now, one of the things that I've seen here, and salvation is a very simple thing. But in its simplicity, it is also a very complex thing. And I make this statement often, and I hope you get this, and I hope you know this as well, but I actually happen to know more about salvation today than I did 30 years ago when I got saved. I know more about it today than I did 30 years ago, but I'm not more saved today than I was 30 years ago. Amen? It has nothing, our knowledge has nothing to do with gaining more salvation, but we do need to know about salvation. We need to know how it applies. We need to know how it works. And the Scripture, again, is what does this for us. And so we must know the Scripture in order to know salvation. Now, as we go through this, and again, I'm going through rather quickly because some of these are a reminder, so to speak, but I want you to focus in here as he says, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, all Scripture. So he goes right back to the Scripture here. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable. Every word in the Bible is profitable for our life. As we see this, he says it's profitable for what? For doctrine tells us what is right. The Bible tells us what is right. It says for reproof, because the Bible also tells us what's wrong. So while the Bible tells us what is right, the Bible also tells us what is wrong, and we need to be reproved in that. And then he says for correction. The Bible tells us how to get it right. It's one thing to be told, hey, that's wrong. But if we're going to be told, hey, that's wrong, don't you think we need a solution? The Bible gives us that. The Bible's profitable in these things. It says for correction. Then he says for instruction in righteousness. We need to know how to keep it right. Once we get it right, it's important to know how to keep it right. And the Bible is what does that. And notice in verse number 17 that he says, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. You see, we have a job to do, And in this job, we need to know the scripture. We need to know salvation. Number one, we need to know salvation for ourselves to be saved. But, you know, we kind of need to know salvation so that others can be saved. One of the reasons why we are to continue learning in this Christian life, and I love how the Bible describes the Christian life and how the Bible gives us this picture of being born again. And as we are born again, we are to raise in this thing of Scripture and in this thing of salvation. And as we grow in the Word, we are to be truly furnished unto all works. Just as a baby grows and develops and becomes a mature adult that is supporting themselves and is able to function on their own in all of those things, we too as Christians ought to be able to function on our own through this Christian life. Now, I want you to go back to chapter 1, and we're going to see a few other things here besides just knowing the scripture and knowing salvation. There are some other things that we need to know. He says in verse number 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Not only do we need to know the scripture and learn scripture, not only do we need to know and learn salvation, but we need to learn how to seek God. We seek God through our prayer life. We see Jesus' disciples as they were walking with them, and they asked him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. You know, I would say most of our failures in life, I don't know who said it, but somebody said most of our failures in life are prayer failures. It's usually because we haven't prayed through long enough, we haven't prayed through close enough, we haven't paid enough attention to God or sought God enough to have the answer that we need. We come to the place where we say, well, I've prayed about it, and then we just go on our way. And we've prayed about it. But have we waited on the answer? Have we sought God long enough? Have we sought God enough to seek His face, to know His will for our life? Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, look, he says, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Look at verse number 4. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, as he's going through this, we're leading into our next point here, is as he's saying, I'm seeking God on your behalf, Timothy. Do you have people that you're praying for? Do you have people that you're seeking God for? Do you have people that you're asking God to do a special work in their life? Do you have these things in your heart and in your life? Are you seeking God? We need to learn this. Why? Because as we learn to seek God, it affects our testimony amongst others. Notice he says in verse number 8, he says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker in the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us." You see, it is God who hath saved us. And we must learn this through Scripture, through salvation, again, to seek God. Notice in verse number 11, he says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." I want you to go over back to chapter number 4 as we continued reading from chapter 3 into chapter 4. And I want you to take notice. He says here in verse number 1, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." He says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Not only are we to learn Scripture, not only are we to learn salvation, not only are we to learn to seek God, but number 4, we're to learn to speak up. To speak up. Now, this is something that definitely has to be learned. This is something that I had to learn through help of others. Because I will tell you that speaking up is not always an easy thing to do. As a matter of fact, it is rarely easy to do, especially when you're standing up for that which is right. But here, and take note here, he says, "Preach the word." How can we preach the word if we don't know the word? So we must first know the word. We must know salvation. We must be seeking God so that we can have that testimony, that we can speak up to preach the word. Notice he says, "Be instant in season, out of season." That's one of the reasons why we're to know the word. We're to know what the Bible says so that we can give the word, so that we can give and say and speak up and be bold in how we do it. But notice, as he says here, reprove, rebuke, and we can do this real well. It's real easy to point out the faults of others. It's real easy to be able to do this. But notice what it says, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Longsuffering and doctrine. This is important here. As we're speaking up, it's one thing to speak up and say the truth, but we must be doing it with the right spirit. We must be doing it with the right intentions, and that is to exhort and to not just to reprove and rebuke, because again, that's easy to do, but to exhort is to teach and to lift up and to build up. Why? With all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, here's a reason. In verse number 3, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I did not always like what I was being told in school. But you know, most teachers have a desire for their children that are in their classroom to learn. Now, you may know this if you've been in school. There was always that one or two or maybe sometimes three, sometimes more, kids in the class that really didn't want to learn, and they were difficult students. Any difficult students in the room tonight? Besides myself? Thank you, Tommy. I'm in great company. Or you're in good company, one of the two. Charity's trying not to raise her hand, but sort of raising her hand. Did you just talk a lot? Was that your deal? That was... shocking is what I heard. I always had these comments, Brother Don, on my report card. Nearly every teacher would say, "He's a pleasure to have in class." Seriously, a pleasure to have in class. But I'll summarize it this way: he needs to be quiet. I talked too much. I guess that's why I do this. I get to talk. But sometimes when it comes to teaching, as the teacher, you have to give what people don't always want to hear. And you have to teach what is not always easy to teach. But what we do as we get older, we say, "Well, you know, I don't like that." And so we go to a place where we like what we hear. And the Bible says we heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears. Now, it's not the teachers who are having the itching ears. It is, I have an itch, and I want to hear what I want to hear, and I don't want to hear the truth, and I don't want to hear and be reproved and rebuked and exhorted in all of these things. And so I want to be made to feel good, and I want to be told what I want to be told. And I will tell you, when we're told what we want to be told, we're probably not doing much learning. But we need, as Christians, not just preachers and from the pulpit, but we need to learn to speak up. Because lives are at stake here. And so we must learn the Scripture in order to be saved. And after we're saved, we need to learn to seek God. And as we seek God, we need to learn to speak up. I'm going to give you this one for free. I want you to look in Ephesians. Go back just a couple of books to your left there. Ephesians chapter 5. Because I think this is pertinent. We'll go back to 1 Timothy in just a moment, but or 2 Timothy, but I want you to see this because I think it's important in the Christian life that we learn this. So as we're learning the Scripture, we're learning salvation, we're learning to seek God, we're learning to speak up. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." I think we need to learn to sing. Now, I know. I have heard this my entire life. Most people think they can't sing. And there are a lot of people that think they can sing that can't sing. We have that. But we need to learn how to sing. I'm not talking about singing for singing's sake, because there's the whole world can do that. But notice what the Bible says here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Can I tell you, this is not just about having a wonderful voice and joining the choir and singing special music and bellowing out the songs of God. No, this is about having it in your heart. This is about learning to sing to yourself. I love the Old Testament scripture that talks about the God that giveth songs in the night. In those dark times in our life, you know what we need? We need to know a song. We need to know the songs of God. Music's a powerful force in our lives. I'll tell you, it's amazing to me how quickly music can come back to us. Songs that we haven't heard for 25 and 30 years can walk into a store and hear the song and know every word to it. Songs that we haven't sung in a while, they come and, oh, there's the words. Why? Because music's powerful. Now, we need to learn to sing in our heart. We need a song that is going to minister to us in times of need. You say, what song is it? I don't know. But he gives us three types of songs here. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and good old-fashioned rock and roll. Oh, wait, it doesn't say that, does it? Oh. See, this is, I'll tell you how the devil works. There's a secular evil song in my head right now. Don't laugh. It's kind of funny, but it's not really. But it tells how powerful songs are. I'm not even going to tell you the song. Spiritual songs is what we need. That is what we need in our heart. Why? Because at that point we can sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. And here's what it does for us. It allows us and gives us the ability to give thanks. Notice in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we have a song, we can be thankful for everything. We need to learn to sing. We need to learn the scripture, number one. We need to learn salvation, number two. We need to learn to seek God, number three. We need to learn to speak up, to share the gospel, to tell others. We need to learn to sing. I want you to look back in 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's something else that we must learn. In verse number 19 of chapter 2, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, or follow righteousness, sorry, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We need to learn separation. He said, "In some houses there are gold, silver, vessels, but also wood and earth. Some to honor, some to dishonor." And then notice what he says in verse number 21. He says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these." Now, if we're purging something, what does that mean? We're getting rid of it. We're setting it aside. We're separating from whatever it is we're purging. I need to purge some desks in my office. Some desk drawers, some desks. Some drawers in my office. They've got stacks and stacks of paper that need purging. That means I'm going to take them out. I'm going to deposit them in the trash. I'm going to put them in the dumpster. And guess where they're going? To the great landfill. Going to be buried away, far, far away. Never to return again. We need to learn separation. There are some things that we just naturally are drawn to. But the Bible again says, again, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Notice what he says here. Sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now how do we do that? He gives us the example here in verse 22. He says, "Flee also youthful lusts." You know, there are things that, again, naturally we're just drawn to. And every man, when he is enticed, is drawn in his own lust. But he says, flee from those things, get away from that youthful lust, and follow after righteousness. Follow after faith. Follow after charity. Follow after peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Sometimes we have to separate from people. You know, it's amazing to me sometimes. I can remember as a teenager hearing preaching about separation and having to have the right friends and peer pressure and how peer pressure affects. And you know, I've learned something, that we probably don't preach enough about peer pressure to adults. I have it too. You have it too. I mean, at work, you have peers, and no, they're not teenagers anymore, but, you know, we're affected by it. And there are times in our life that we must flee those youthful lusts and follow after the right thing. And follow after it by faith, with charity and peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice, with them. That's people here. So we need to sometimes separate ourselves from our from what we say, hey, these are our friends, and we love them and we like them, but they're not necessarily good for us. And we must separate ourselves unto that which is good. Notice verse 23 says, "But avoid unlearned questions." Avoid or but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must strive to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So part of the reason of the separation is that those that we're separating from might see the error of their way. Say, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a part of that. Oh, why not? And that's usually going to be a question, why not? Well, now I have an opportunity, because they want to know why not. I have an opportunity to do what? Open the scripture. To speak the truth. To tell the truth in love. To, again, not strive in an argumentative kind of way, but in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Why? If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Which leads us to our seventh point tonight. We're to learn scripture. We're to learn salvation. We're to learn to seek God. We're to learn to speak up. We're to learn to sing. We're to learn to separation. But in chapter 4, in verse number 5, the Bible says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. We need to learn to be a soul winner. All of these things build one upon another. Without scripture, we can't have salvation. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without salvation, we don't have an open throne to be able to seek God. Without seeking God, we'll never know how to properly speak up and preach the word. To be able to have a song in our heart, we need these things. To go into separation, we've got to have it. And during that time of separation is a wonderful time to go into the evangelism and the soul winning. Notice he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But we must do the work of an evangelist. Again, he says, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul had a full ministry. He had a ministry that was proven. He had a ministry that that was solid, that stood, and that was sure. What about us? Do we witness enough? Now, I know this is probably very difficult, because we talk about separation, okay? And we're separating ourselves from those that don't do right. We're separating ourselves to those that do right. There has been a time in my life where I would say 95% of the people I know Christ. Because I've separated myself. This separation is not a separation of, we don't have any contact with anybody else, you know, we're in our, we're just going to build a compound, let's build a big wall, and we'll build some apartments, and everybody move in right here, we'll have the groceries brought in, and we're going to be separated. How many are for that? Okay, good. Because I'm not for that either. It's a little creepy, just a tad bit weird. Can we call it Waco? I mean, Wacko? Those of you who remember the Waco deal, that's kind of what they did. But no, we're not going to do that. We can't separate ourselves to a place where we don't do that. Why? Because the Bible tells us to do the work of an evangelist. So in that, we must be seeking those who are lost. Jesus did. Jesus sought people who were lost. And we must learn, again, learn. We're talking about learning here. We must learn to do the same thing. But if we're not striving to, if we're not trying to learn how to be a soul winner, we probably won't be. Now, I know, and this, again, the foundation here is the scripture. And this comes to a place where, I'll just tell you, it is not only my job to talk to people about Jesus. I've heard this for a long time. I remember as a boy, probably 10, 11 years old, we were going to a church called Mount Carmel Baptist Church, and I remember somebody standing up and saying and giving a testimony. Said, "Please pray for a friend of mine at work. I know that if I could just get them to come to church, they'd be saved." At 10, 11 years old, that struck me in a funny way, because I was then beginning to learn the fact that we had this responsibility of giving the gospel. And can I tell you, just getting somebody to come to church is not giving the gospel. It's not. It's our responsibility. It's not just my responsibility as the pastor say, "Hey, if you need somebody who needs to be saved, just call me. We'll take care of that." Or call Scott. Your child needs to be saved. Just call us over. We'll deal with them. No, I want you to know how to do that. You ought to know how to do that. You can learn to do that. You can learn the scripture enough to know how you can take the word of God and show someone how they can trust Christ as their Savior, and when they die, go to heaven. You just have to learn it. And what I've found is sometimes it's we don't want to learn. Sometimes we think if we learn, then we're going to be held accountable for our learning. And guess what? We are. We are going to be held accountable for what we learn. But can I just fill you in on something? We're also going to be held accountable for things that we don't learn. Because God has given us an open book. If we don't know this book, can I just tell you, it's your fault? If I don't know this book, it's my fault. And if you don't know it, it's your fault. And we can learn some of these things together. And we can learn how to study the scripture, and we can help you with that. And we can help you learn what salvation is, and we can do that. And we can teach you how to pray, and we can teach you how to speak up, and teach you some new songs, and teach us how to be separated, and teach you how to soul win. But the fact of the matter is, when you learn, guess what? We're accountable to teach somebody else. We're to learn these things. There's a purpose in and for our learning. We're not learning just to be puffed up to teach others or to tell others how much we know. There's a purpose in what we're learning. There's a purpose in what we're doing. In just a few weeks, on Wednesday evenings, my plan, my goal is to begin with Scripture, as all things must. And for the summer, we're going to talk about how to do these things, primarily in the area of soul winning. How can I take the Word of God, share with someone else, that they might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How can I do that? Some of you may not know. Some of you may have never even thought to learn how to do that or how that works. And we want to help you with this, and so I want you to be here for this Wednesday evenings. You're going to need to know this when it comes time for Vacation Bible School. You ought to have no problem taking a child and showing them the Word of God and leading them to Christ in a place of salvation. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us, "Watch thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." We're going to concentrate on this. We're going to do this. We're going to do it together. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Seven things we ought to learn. Scripture. Salvation. Seeking God. Speaking up for God. Singing in our heart. Separation. Soul winning.